The number of anthrax cases in the United States continues to grow. Yesterday, the baby son of an ABC News producer in New York was diagnosed with the disease. Here in Washington, a letter containing the potentially deadly bacteria was found in Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle's office. Each new report about anthrax is adding to a scare that already has led to hundreds of false alarms and hoaxes worldwide, and some Americans are fearful of opening their mail. Officials are investigating the incidents, but they have yet to answer some basic questions. Who's sending the anthrax, and how did they get a hold of the disease? NPR's Richard Knox reports.
One possible source is a research laboratory. The Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention regulates laboratories doing research with anthrax bacteria. The CDC refuses to disclose how many such labs there are. Researchers in the field say fewer than a dozen labs work with anthrax bacteria. Paul Keim of Northern Arizona University heads one such lab. He says researchers used to be more open, but since September 11, things are much tighter.
We had been certified by the Centers for Disease Control as to our security methods before September 11th, and I can tell you that our security is much tighter now than it was 5 weeks ago.
Anthrax materials were already tightly regulated after an incident in the mid-1990s. An Ohio State student ordered vials of bubonic plague bacteria from a commercial supplier. When the FBI investigated, it found the nonprofit company had also supplied 7 strains of anthrax bacteria to the government of Iraq. That led to a law in 1996 restricting the sale and transfer of anthrax and 35 other potential biowarfare agents. Teresa Kohler is an anthrax researcher at the University of Texas in Houston.
Certainly, everyone keeps a close eye on their strain collections and is well aware of numbers of strains and types of strains they have. I can tell you, I can't speak for other investigators or other laboratories, but because of the recent events and increased concern, we're adding an alarm to our door. But we really have a very secure system for keeping track and maintaining our strains.
When pressed, Kohler concedes it would have been a bit easier to steal a vial of anthrax from her lab and others before now. Dr. Martin Hugh Jones of Louisiana State University says an insider could have taken some anthrax from a lab. He didn't want to be interviewed on tape. If I were to guess, he says, it was probably some summer intern talking to a friend in a local bar. The friend said, "Could you get me some?" Hugh Jones says various protest groups have been scouting for anthrax for years. But it doesn't have to be a lab. Another possible source, researchers say, is the great outdoors. Anthrax spores survive in soil where wildlife and livestock die from the disease. Hugh Jones notes that over 500 white-tailed deer died from anthrax in West Texas this year. It wouldn't take much skill, he says, to harvest some anthrax spores from the wild and grow it in test tubes. A third possible source is a foreign country. Dr. Fred Southwick is chief of infectious diseases at the University of Florida in Gainesville.
I think it's very possible that the organism was brought over from an Arab country.
Southwick points out that anthrax outbreaks are common among livestock in many countries. And as one former United Nations biowarfare inspector said yesterday, Iraq is known to have anthrax stocks. Southwick says it would be easy to smuggle anthrax spores into this country.
Anthrax spores are easily transported, easily could be missed during passage through luggage. And I don't think that any security check could detect anthrax easily.
Wherever the anthrax is coming from, scientists expect to know soon if there's a common source in the anthrax attacks so far. Genetic analysis being done by Keim and the CDC should settle that question. Then it will be up to the FBI to track down who got it from where. Richard Knox, NPR News, Boston.